And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, January 28th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I guess you're doing fantastic today.
I am. Every day is fantastic. And yourself?
I'm doing quite well. I have really have no complaints. Sometimes I do complain, but I really have no complaints to speak of. I'm warm. I'm safe. I got supper coming, and I'm warm place to sleep tonight. I'm totally blessed.
Well, good.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Every day's a good day whenever the Lord takes care of you and blesses you. And
absolutely.
I know we all have off days, but I think we're a little bit spoiled is the problem.
Yes. Yes.
If you know what I mean.
I do. You know what I mean, jelly bean? Yes, I do. Anyway, let's go see what gold has done. It's no jelly bean, but we had a pullback. And yes, it was mainly due to yesterday. You had that big rush of panic heading into the markets. And, of course, they had 2 days to calm everyone's fears, which concerns me more than anything. But so what gold gave up yesterday took back today. We have gold down $13 at $1,569. Same with silver. Silver was down 3.5%. I don't know why that fell so much. Down 63 cents at 17.54. It's trying to get above that $18 mark, but it sure is struggling. Platinum was up $4 a day at 991, and of course palladium. Well, that didn't go down. That was up 1.25%, 2,392. The USDX today was up 0.06 at 98.00. Crude oil was up 0.44 at 53.58. Stock market today, we have, of course, they rebounded from yesterday's dive of 400 points. The Dow was up, came back half, 214 points. 28,750. The NASDAQ was up 130, 9,269. And the S&P was up 32, 3,276. 10-year yield, 1.64. That popped 0.04. Euro, 110. European and Asia markets, maybe a little 1% in London and Germany, but not a whole lot. Bitcoin took off a little bit today. And, of course, you know, yesterday we talked about jobs report and everything. Well, 3M is cutting 1,500 jobs as they're going to do some global restructuring. And, of course, they claim that they were hit very hard with a little trade spat between the United States and China. And they said it would have a problem, and it's only gotten worse since fall. We had last April, 3M shares plunged 13% in one day. It was the worst fall in three decades. Let's see if it shows. It looks like those 1,500 jobs are going to be between China and the U.S. It looks like 3M, they're looking day-to-day to see what's going and what it's going to mean for their outlook for China. They make protective masks, and we certainly know that can't find those anywhere over there in China with the coronavirus. So they've seen a huge demand increase for that. So, but, you know, it's just another one where restructuring, to me, is the modern term of bankruptcy. But they restructure. That's what you do in bankruptcies. You restructure. So to me, there's, you know, a little difference. So that's how bad 3M is hurting. So again, just an add another one to the list of the multiple companies that we've seen that are restructuring and, of course, cutting unemployment. You had Harley-Davidson stock. They tanked today. Motorcycle sales continue to slide. They're not doing well. So that's a lot of things that are going on, but hey, there's too much talk about impeachment to talk about what's really going on in this country, Butch, right?
That's very true. You know, I'm just reading As you're talking about the 3M, reading here that says consumer confidence jumps as job market outlook improves. Excuse me. But I read that and looking and thinking, consumer confidence jumps as job market outlook improves. 3M laid off 1,500 employees. I'm thinking, what, another, I heard y'all talking this, I know you and Dave, but I think another 1,200 stores or whatever shutting down here real soon. And U.S. core capital goods order posts biggest drop in 8 months. So, but the consumer confidence jumps. And I'm trying to figure this out. How can that be when things are actually closing down, laying off people? The goods orders are going down. That means less transportation needed, less jobs, less manufacturing jobs. How can consumer confidence jump? Are we that brainwashed, Mel? Do we actually think that things are getting better when everything's shutting down? Are we that ignorant of people anymore?
As long as the consumer has a dollar or a credit card to spend, and that they'll spend and be happy.
Oh, and I forgot too.
It's unfortunate that people's lives have become so hectic, and they have turned to the internet to find their news. And you know, if you're going on the internet to look at your news, you're only going to read news that supports what you believe. So if you go to the internet and you believe that the economy is great, you're only going to read articles that support your belief. So well, you know, it's even harder now for people to really find the truth. They don't question anything. I guess if they find it on the internet, it must be true.
Well, if it makes them feel good, and I'm saying this, we all have this tendency. If it makes them feel good, that's what you want to hear, you know?
Sure.
That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And the Super Bowl is the second, I found out. I don't follow the Super Bowl, but I found that Super Bowl was the second. So a lot of things lined up for that. You know, we're going to have tailgate parties, and we're going to have a good time. So let's not talk about, you know, things slowing down. Trump says the economy's booming, and so I don't know. It's just, if it feels good, just let it flow. No one wants to face the facts that people have been laid off all across the country on jobs, and maybe they're finding other jobs. Maybe that's possible. The unemployment rate supposedly is getting lower all the time, so maybe they're jumping from one job to the other. It could be. I know around here, fast food's hiring, but it's kind of hard to go from a $20 an hour job down to $8.95 an hour. But it's a job, right?
Yeah, it's a job. Now you have enough room in your schedule to get two jobs.
There you go, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, and almost equal what you made before.
Yeah. Hey, isn't that great?
It's amazing, wonderful, positive.
Yeah.
And
get
course,
to meet
don't
more
worry
people.
About, do I now?
You get to meet more people, two
of
jobs.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And don't worry about the fact that inflation is actually eating up things. We all see it all the time, but it's no big deal. You know, I mean, just because food prices keep going up, and they are going up, folks. Food prices are one of the worst. Everything creeping up, although gasoline came down 4 cents a gallon here yesterday. So that's a good thing, I reckon. But, you know, it's going to go back up again as usual. But I'm just thinking people are changing jobs and maybe making a little bit less, but inflation eats away more of it, so actually making less than we were before. So here we go.
And I just want to share this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
Well, that's all right. Go ahead. I can say the answer, though, to keeping the utilities running and all the government agencies running is easy. They just raise taxes. You know, I mean, the government doesn't go hungry. They just tax us more. So, of course, that doesn't count, right? That doesn't count because each way their paycheck either. I mean, that's for government. We got to give them money. So, anyway, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, you're doing great. You're absolutely correct. And I just want to share the story again of someone I was talking to back in, I don't know, December. And they're happy right now where we are. They just hope that whether it be the Federal Reserve, whether it be President Trump, whether it be, you know, whatever, they just want things to stay as is because, you know, they're working, they have a job, you know, they're able to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And it doesn't matter how much or how many facts that you can present them, they're going to reject everything because they don't want anything to disturb their little bubble. And I can't blame them. to some degree. I mean, we don't want things to change and so forth. But one thing I've found in doing this in 25 years, things change. And there's truth and there's non-truths. So it's really up to people to... But I also know, after 25 years, how truths can be stretched.
Oh, yes.
And you know, and it's very difficult to really know what the truth is in today's world when you have the internet and you have, you know, where everything is so polarized, where you have so much, you know, everything is so divided and split. So, you know, and sticking up for most of the people out there, you know. But I was listening to Rush Limbaugh today, and he had a caller called in or wrote him a letter, and I guess there was a Don Lemon on CNN, and he was with two other guys or something like that, and
oh, yes.
They were just really, truly making lots of fun, poking sticks at us so-called deplorables. Now, I know a lot of you think that, you know, because we talk about President Trump and we're trying to bring you the, you know, behind-the-scenes things and everything, that I don't like President Trump. Well, you know, I think he's done some good and so forth. I don't want to be buffaloed into some of these things. So, but my point was, on this video, they were making fun of the deplorables, in which I'm one of them. And the writer to Rush says, you know what, these people who were making fun of us, those who voted for President Trump, are the same people who change their oil in their vehicles, who cook their food and serve them food in restaurants, who drive airplanes, or their doctors, or their lawyers. I mean, and it's so... They truly are, Butch, truly... I mean, you want to talk about a deplorable. I mean, these people who go around making fun and joking.
Oh, yes.
Of the people of this country, their fellow citizens.
That's actually doing them more harm than they realize. That's destroying their side. That's destroying their credibility. And it should.
Well, it just shows how... My mind just can't go there, Butch. I mean, as far as who these people... I mean, how do they live with themselves?
Well, you know, I've got this article here in front of me, and I'm going to read, if you don't mind, part of it, because I think it's interesting. It says, CNN Trump supporters, stupid, illiterate rednecks.
Yeah.
And most people don't know what a redneck means. And that term started, by the way, right here in the hills where I live in West Virginia. A redneck was the coal miners who back during the strikes and when they brought the military in to put down the coal mines from striking, the rednecks were the coal miners, because they wore red handkerchiefs to tell them apart from somebody else in the woods so they wouldn't shoot each other. That's a true story. But anyway, during a discussion regarding impeachment of Showtrout, Don Lemon and a pair of talking heads evolved into imitating Southern accents, declaring that anyone who can read or spell is an elitist, an effort to mock Trump voters as stupid rednecks. An unbridled show of arrogance, Lemon cackled while blowhard Rick Wilson and New York Trump Times co-op-ed writer Wajahat Ali suggests that anyone who voted for Trump is an illiterate dummy. Find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it, then asserted that Trump is backed only by credulous boomer rube demo of Americans. Donald Trump's a smart one, and they're y'all leaders and dumb, Wilson shouted in a faux Southern accent. Do they really think they're gaining support doing that?
They're disgusting. Totally
they are
disgusting.
And they're doing more of a favor for Trump's side than they can believe, because this is what makes people
makes
angry enough
stronger.
To vote for Trump. Yeah, sure, it does.
Makes us stronger.
It does. Now, when you resort to having to do that to win an argument, you've already lost the argument.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And there's nothing else to do. I mean, people that when I'm preaching, people get angry at me. They're not mad at me. They're mad at the Word of God and what I'm saying. They may call me this and that. I've been called all kinds of names. I don't get that on the radio. But they're not really mad at me. They're mad at the truth. And they don't like it because it rocks their world.
Yes.
And that's what these people here are. They're just angry because their world's been rocked. Whether they like Trump or not, beside the point. These people are making fools out of themselves and really disgracing their own credibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's just that simple. It's just that simple.
But I did think it was a nice comparison.
Again, go ahead.
I thought it was a good comparison when that writer had written that note about, you know, the people that they're making fun of and all this are the same people who are servicing them with their cars, with their food restaurants and so forth. So,
absolutely. You know, I like to think that. I guess you could say I'm down in South Central West Virginia. So I guess you say I'm from South. I'm further south than most of Virginia and most of Kentucky. So I guess I'm South. And I know I talk a little funny, and I have all my life, and I know that too. But that's okay. That's who we are.
A little.
I'm not a Trump supporter. All right. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I am, as you are, a hardworking individual. I've never been on welfare in my life. I've always fed my own family. Never been on food stamps. Not because I didn't qualify for them, but because I wanted to work to take care of my family. And I'm not making fun of people that are on food stamps. That's not the point. The point of it is, some people, and I'm one of them, I like to think have earned some respect just for what I've done. You know, to show people that I am a man of character. It's best to understand how to do that. So when they make fun of us because we talk differently or think differently, because, you know, I'm a redneck, I carry a gun, I own guns, I shoot deer, and all that, and so that turns people off. These people are the backbone of the country. They're the ones that make it work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Very well said.
You know, we're talking about the states and money. I won't have time to do it. We're going to break about a minute, but I want to share after the break. You're not going to believe this, but New York State, I promise this is true, is charging people to look at the stars. I'm not making this up. On public parks, they have places that you look at the stars. They're going to charge you to look at the stars. I'll tell you about that at the break, but that's really a true story. This is how desperate they are for revenue, and to think, who would ever thunk that they'd have you buy a permit to look at stars?
You have to buy a permit?
A permit to look at the stargaze. Yes, you do. On a public park in New York. I'll share the story after the break, like I said, because there's no time to share it. But yes, you have to get a permit to look at the stars on a public park in New York.
Well, isn't that special?
I'm not making this up. Isn't that special? So special.
Isn't that special? Alrighty, what's so special, ladies and gentlemen, is we are here at break, and you will hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And make sure you listen to the radio program live, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. And, of course, the sign up for our weekly newsletter that comes usually goes out on Mondays. And it's a lot of information there, but always call us at 1-800-375-4188. And if you're looking to obtain a permit to gaze at the stars, Butch, tell the listeners how they can do that.
I'm laughing, but this isn't funny. But it's like saying during the break, you have to give the bureaucrats an A++++. For having the creative ideas on how to raise revenue. In New Hampshire, you pay a view tax. The view from your front room window, I guess based on how majestic it may be, increase your taxes. Now, this is absolutely the truth. I know people live there. They pay a view tax. And that's absurd. But in New York State, listen to this, folks. State forces citizens to pay for stargazing permit to view night sky in public parks. That's what's happening. While many folks stand behind permits for selling, one permit in New York that has nothing to do with commerce has garnered the scrutiny of the Free Thought Project. If citizens of the state wish to look up the sky and view the stars at one of New York's public parks, they will first have to obtain a stargazing permit. Seriously. Light pollution across the state of New York makes it hard for folks in highly populated areas to view the night sky. So, people who wish to gaze upon the stars at night have to drive many miles away to remote areas. Many of those remote areas are located in taxpayer-funded state parks. In their efforts to squeeze every dime they can from the tax farm, bureaucrats in New York have devised a scheme to exhort citizens who wish to use public parks to gaze upon the night sky. This fee comes in the form of a $35 stargazing permit. Extortion, folks, that's all it is. If you're from an out of state and wish to gaze upon the sky, night sky from one of these locations, the fee jumps to $60. How's that for a deal?
Get out there.
I mean, how's that, people? I mean, come on now. You've given credit. This took some creative thinking to find out how to fund these parks and raise revenue. Charge them to look at the stars. Now, Millie, there you go. I told you that's real.
That's a deal. That's a deal.
I'm laughing, but it really isn't funny.
No, it isn't.
You know,
kind of reminds me those laws, remember, that are still in the books where, you know, after sunset you can't walk on the left side of the street, you know, or you'll be arrested, or, you know, women couldn't, you know, have coffee, you know, you'd be arrested. I remember reading those laws that are still on the books, and this kind of reminds me of that, you know, somewhere, somehow that got passed. It's like, who's sleeping where, and it's so ridiculous.
Well, you know, But at least, I mean, they didn't charge you to sleep there. This is going to charge you to look at the stars. You know, don't know what to say. I mean, I read that. I looked it up. I thought, that can't be real. So I double-checked it. It's real. It's real. So if you go to New York, you want to look at stars, don't go to a public park. Find a place somewhere with it's private property and look at the stars. But don't go. They'll charge you $35 if you live there, $60 if you come out of state.
What you do is you look up the politicians' addresses, the local politicians' addresses, and go there and sit on their front porch and say, "Well, we're here stargazing for free."
That is amazing. But who do you think would have thought that? I mean, who's the first guy to come up with the idea, hey, we'll charge them to look at the stars? I mean, that's amazing. I'm absolutely amazed at how smart these people are on how to fleece the flock.
So they will do what they need to do.
They certainly will. They really will. And moving on now, of course, you just mentioned the impeachment. It goes on and on.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And well, don't worry about it. It's. I'm almost convinced now this is a smoke and mirrors facade to keep the people from looking at really what's happening behind the scenes. What's happening behind the scenes? Really, a lot of things that we won't get into today. But this goes on and on and on. And now, of course, with the coronavirus out, and is it serious? Is it not? I really don't know yet, folks. I'm going to share some articles about this. I don't know if this is going to be serious. How many things it could be? Or is another Ebola outbreak that's going to wipe out the United States and on, and it didn't happen? I don't know. I don't know that, unless you're one of the ones that planned it for a purpose, I don't know that anybody knows. But it says the U.S. and other countries prepared to evacuate their citizens out of China. So apparently, I mean, it's serious enough to do that. I don't know how far that's going to go. But the CDC is also warned to avoid traveling to China unless it's absolutely something you have to do, because this virus apparently is something serious. And they even say it's going to affect the markets here in the United States. It's going to have repercussions on the market, the U.S. economy. And it already has, actually. I guess you already know that Apple gets most of their... Well, I'll share this in more detail. Gets a lot of their smartphone material from China, you know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's affecting them already. And China, let's face it, folks, manufactures a lot of stuff that we get here in this country. And if they quit manufacturing all this stuff, what are the Americans going to do? How are they going to survive? Apple supply chain braces for disruption from coronavirus outbreak. Each of the main iPhone assembly locations in China is more than 500 kilometers away from Wuhan. Apple preparations to begin mass production of a new low-cost iPhone could be at risk. Oh, my melody. If the phones go out and they can't get parts for them, what will the people do? How will they survive without something to stare at all day?
They'll dig out their old ones.
Zombify themselves. I don't know. Virtually all of the world's iPhones are made in China. I did not know that, by the way. Primarily by Foxconn Technology Group, formerly known as Hunhei Precision Industry, at facility in Zhengzhou, and by Penetron Group as an assembly site near Shanghai. Apple's China-centric manufacturing base is at risk of disruption after the Lunar New Year holiday, as the iPhone maker's partners confront the coronavirus outbreak. And that has gripped the country and caused more than 100 deaths. Now, we do know that they've quarantined around 50, 55 million people. And I think like 12, 13 different cities, that they shut down the cities. Of course, they say they shut them down. That's for people that couldn't afford to get out. Most of them are already gone. Virtually all the world's iPhones are made in China, primarily by Foxconn, as I said that. So each of these locations, I don't know how many people they hire, but they're flat out shutting them down. They're not just cutting back. They're shutting them down. So I can't imagine a scenario where the supply chain isn't disrupted, said veteran industrial analyst Patrick Moorhead of Moore Insights and Strategy. If there's one major hiccup in the raw materials, fabrication, assembly, test, and shipping, it will be a disruption. Apple's been increasing production to meet higher than anticipated iPhone demand. Bloomberg News reported last week. The company typically launches its new high-end iPhones around September, so the virus is unlikely to have a meaningful impact on those plans. The company, however, is also preparing to begin mass production of a new low-cost iPhone in February, which is at risk. Apple has roughly 10,000 direct employees in China across its retail and corporate entities. Its supply chain also has a few million workers manufacturing products like iPad, iPhone, and Apple Watch. 10,000 direct employees and supply chain is a few million workers, Melody, making like iPad, iPhone, Apple Watch. That's a huge, huge hit. And again, in America, phones are, some people have two or three of them. I mean, what will we do?
You know, it's interesting. This morning I was watching CNBC, and they had a former FDA guy on there. And he was talking about, he believes that the true numbers of China, you're looking at cases in the hundreds of thousands, 300,000 plus. He says, because the numbers that they're giving out now, he says, that's after the fact. He says they're not even counting the ones that have gone by. He thinks that the deaths are thousands, not 80 or 100, but thousands of deaths. And he talked about it more being an epidemic than a pandemic. But certainly impacts on various business sectors around the world, with Apple being one and so forth, whatever is manufactured over there. So, I mean, and I do believe too, I mean, you don't go to the extremes that they've done in closing down cities and having some sort of quarantine on, 60 million people for, at that time, 1,000 reported cases and 10 people who've died. Yeah, those are pretty extreme. So there's all kinds of scenarios out there that we can crop up. But the one thing that we do know, and he had agreed, is we're not going to get the full truth from China.
No. I don't know.
And I mentioned
that. Own resources.
But you know what? I mentioned that to somebody today, that we're not going to get the full truth from China. And they looked at me like I had a third ear. It's like, they wouldn't tell us the truth. Why wouldn't? It's like, people just don't understand anymore.
No, they don't. No,
the
they don't.
Various countries' politics and values and their culture. We're not all Americans around the world. People might call them citizens of the world, but they're all different. China's a communist nation. They don't tell the truth. I mean, it's really that simple, Butch. And it was interesting because this guy, and how much news now, they basically taken this coronavirus really out of the news. I mean, sure, the USA warns against China travel. It's in the smaller print now. You had a big earthquake in, I don't know where, Jamaica, somewhere close to Jamaica. Felt some, shaking in Miami. Yeah, that takes over the headlines. So a little bit less. They saw what reporting on this virus did to the stock market in one day. And they're not going to have it. So now they're going to take, you'll see little. You won't see reports on how many cases are in the United States anymore unless it gets really bad. So
what you're saying is we can't trust our own news either.
No.
That's very true. Very true. And next Wednesday, I think that's the 3rd, I believe it is, I have Dr. Jane Oriental, and she's the head director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and she'll be discussing the coronavirus and really what it could be. And she actually told me today, she doesn't know exactly what's going to amount to. She has no idea. She is taking numbers that she already knows about and multiplying them out. And it could be something really huge. And what the time schedule, no one even knows that. But, most of us are hoping it's not going to be that much. But as you said, it affected the market pretty heavily. And they don't want that. That would upset their apple cart. So,
mm-mm.
I don't know. I had no idea what to say.
I mean,
about
it is
that.
It was just something that we're going to have to play out. And what this guy did believe, he said he thinks it'll just play through like a regular flu season. But I mean, you don't know how. I mean, how do you define the difference between flu and someone who died, you know, 6-8 months ago that was just crossed off as the flu death? So it's. But anyway.
Well, she said it could be as bad as 1918 flu epidemic. She said it could be. Now, no one
could
knows
be.
That. But it could
no
be.
No one knows.
Ramin's died. But, you know, different topic, another scenario. I guess you know that in Baghdad, Iraq doesn't want the troops there any longer, our troops there. And
true.
This, pardon?
I said true.
That is true, yeah. NBC News, Tehran Brio, chief and correspondent Ali Arazi said hundreds of thousands of protesters marched across Baghdad on Friday, demanding U.S. troops leave the country and close all military bases and embassies. Hundreds of thousands protested in Baghdad, calling for you to leave, and they're considered an occupying force. Well, duh. Yeah. Been for years. Protesters held signs that read, no, no to America and no, no to occupation. I mean, the sea of nationalism and anti-Americanism erupting across the country's capital. Others were heard on loudspeakers blasting the phrase, death to America, death to Israel. The presence of U.S. coalition forces in the country has become a big, hot subject since President Trump launched a drone attack on Iranian General Soleimani and Iraqi militia commander Abu Mahdi El-Mahdis, killing both early this month near Baghdad International Airport. The Green Zone, the international zone of Baghdad and home of U.S. Embassy, had been peppered with rocket attacks since the killing of Soleimani. Now, Ron Paul put out an article, or actual video, that I thought was interesting. Apparently, they say Iran did it. Did they? I don't know. But does this mean war? I mean, Trump, you know, did take this guy out, apparently, and Iran retaliated and hurt some of our service members, and they tried to downplay it, but nonetheless, they were some of them hurt. And now they hit the embassy in Baghdad. Does this mean war? I don't know, Melody. I mean, we hear a lot of hot talk and big talk, but so far, no response I've heard from the Trump administration. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I agree, and the last thing that, I mean, I really don't want us to go to war. I don't even want to go there, but we haven't heard the last from Iran, and, you know, it's, they don't want us there. Bring our troops home.
Shouldn't be there in the
simple.
First place.
Shouldn't be there in the first place.
We shouldn't be in any foreign land for any reason. That's none of our business. We were warned that by our founders. We become an empire. Empires all end and die horrible deaths. Every one of them, folks, read your history. Even biblical history teaches that. An empire always overstretches its reach, crumbles from the inside out. Rome, Greece, all of them, America too. And then it collapses into itself, and my goodness, this is not going to be a pretty picture, especially for America. We have harmed so many people around the world, ticked off so many countries, that when payday comes for this country full blast, it's not going to be a pretty place.
I hear the music. We're heading into the break. We'll be right back.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I'm just going to turn this a little bit to back to the just a couple of articles came out today, some reports, new orders for key U.S.-made capital goods. Well, that dropped by the most in 8 months in December, and shipments were weak. And it suggested that business investment contracted further in the fourth quarter. And, of course, that would be seen as a drag on economic growth. The Commerce Department said today orders for non-defense capital goods, excluding aircraft, fell 0.9% last month as demand for machinery, primary metals, electrical equipment, appliances, and components declined. And this was the largest decrease since April. Data for November was revised lower to show these so-called core capital good orders edging up only 1% instead of gaining 0.2%. So again, they adjust and everything has been going to the downside. So again, this is just another sign. We had business investment contracting for two straight quarters and likely remained in the red in the fourth quarter. So the Atlantic Fed is forecasting GDP to rise at a 1.8% annualized rate in the fourth quarter. So they're supposed to, the government is supposed to publish a snapshot of fourth quarter GDP on Thursday. So we'll look to that, and that could have some, you know, major impacts on the markets. United, we were talking about the coronavirus, just to make this real quick. United Airlines is canceling flights to China. So I'm not sure if that's, can't be at all of China. Let's see what it says. United Airlines, let's see if I can find where they're looking at. Well, we had Facebook. See, where's the headline on this? Okay, they're just canceling some flights. United Airlines Holding is canceling some flights to China as Facebook Inc. and other global companies restrict travel to the country with concerns over the flu-like virus that is deepening. So, but there was another important report out. If I can pull this up here, and then Butch, you can go back on track. I should have pulled it up during the break. I did, but I lost it again. But it's about the U.S. budget forecasts. You know, it just continues to deteriorate. The U.S. is going to rack up budget deficits totaling $13 trillion over the coming decade and continuing to rise to levels unprecedented in U.S. history. Now, these are the reports today. Can you imagine what they're going to be next year?
How are we going to fund it? How are we going to fund it? Charge a man in country looking stars?
Yes.
How are we going to fund that?
With every breath you take, you're going to owe a tax.
That's true.
In its twice yearly report on the budget and economic outlook released today, the CBO predicted a budget shortfall of $1 trillion in 2020, or 4.6% of gross domestic product, and set out a deteriorating longer-term picture based on recent changes to the tax code and the aging U.S. population. Well, that'll get a whole bunch worse if they really do pass a 2.0 tax reform prior to the election. I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they can do it, but they're talking about it. So, you know, sometimes that has just as much impact. Not since World War II has the country seen deficits during times of low unemployment. That's the point, ladies and gentlemen, that are as large as have been projected. Nor in the past century has it experienced large deficits for as long as they project. Last year, the CBO predicted the U.S. debt would rise to 144% of GDP by 2050. It's been revised to 98% of GDP by 2030 and 174%. So they moved it from 144% to 174% by 2050. Last year, it was 80%. So, again, these are just incredible numbers. Everybody knows they're not sustainable. Everyone knows it. Except the general population of this country. And they just think it's grand. But this is the best economy that we've had in the history of this country. Maybe it is. But then these other numbers shouldn't be as bad as what they are. So one and one is not equaling two. So I don't get it, Butch, but anyway, so those are some looks into the future for your children and grandchildren. Because they get stuck. Well, in 10 years, we'll still be here, Butch, so we'll get stuck too.
Oh, absolutely, if we're still here. You know, it's amazing to me that...
Which I don't know about you, but I'm planning.
Well, I plan on, but nobody knows that but our God, and he ain't tell me yet. But anyway, I don't understand how we could even believe, even the uninformed public could believe that we're in the best shape we are being economically in this country. That takes a long stretch of imagination and a huge lie to swallow that. It does. A nation this far in debt, with fiat currency and fraud everywhere, fake wars, false flags, and we are in the better shape we've been in history, somebody's dumber than a rock that believes that. I mean, come on, people. Think a little bit. When this blows up, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be like a little bump in the road like we had back in 2009. When this finally comes to a head, it's going to make the Great Depression look like nothing. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling the truth. There's so much happened, Melody. So many things beyond even financial situations have happened in this country that is bringing us into, I guess you just say, judgment. Is that a fair statement?
Well, you know, too, there's a lot of people in this country who don't have stocks. They don't have investments.
That's true.
So, you know, they look at everybody's, the Dow is hitting records. Things are great. The economy is great. They probably think that they're just missing out on something. Those who have investments, retirement account, and pension plans, they're happy. They are happy because and kudos. But it's not the economy. They're two different things. I have a report, Wade, that goes back to the middle of last year, and it talks about the cuts in these multi-employer pension plans. And how they hurt, what they do to older people who plan on, you know, there's been accounts where people were making $4,000 a month, not making, but were getting paid from their pensions, and it was cut in half.
Yes.
There's tens of thousands of workers and retirees and spouses whose pensions have been cut over the past 2 years because of the growing weakness in the U.S. pension system. Nobody talks about that. You want to talk about quiet voices or the people that are overlooked? I'm not talking about, you know, these companies, the U.S. pension system, reneging on their promises to the people. It was a contract, but people who bought into it, they can always be adjusted. You can be guaranteed, or you can be told, you can be promised $4,000 a month, and the next thing you're making $2,000 a month. So, and these multi-employer pension plans, you know, unlike most private pension plans, which benefit only employees of a single company, these multi-employer plans cover pools of union members working for different companies, and each of which helps fund that shared plan. So this is what's being adjusted. It's, you know, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. It's supposed to insure private plans, pays no more than $12,870 per year to a 30-year worker whose multi-employer plan has failed. But you know what? The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation funding these plans is likely to go broke by 2025. That's only 5 years. It's amazing, Butch. And no one talks about this.
It is. Well, I got kind of amused and sick at the same time whenever, you know, the coal miners' pensions were fixing to drop completely. And the Fed stepped in and funded it. But the Feds have no money to fund anything. How's that going to last? How's that going to keep going? When they're already trillions and trillions of dollars in the hole, they're going to step in and fund retirement. And it may work for a while for those who are getting it right now. It may look, you know, they may get a deposit in their account, you know, direct deposit account, and I got the money in there. But how long can it go on? How long can it continue to pay out trillions of dollars in Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare and HUD and food stamps and oh my, Melody, how long can it go on before finally it comes to an abrupt halt? It has to. I'm just reading that 1% of the retired workers in Illinois that are in public employees actually retire with a $1 million pension at when they retire. And we'll say the regular people don't get a fraction of that. And I don't think any public employee should be paid, what, 1,000 times more than the regular people that paid their taxes along the way? You follow what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, it's like the Congress. When they retire, they get full pay. They serve one term, they get full pay the rest of their lives plus free benefits all their lives. Who? I thought the servant wasn't supposed to make more than the master. Maybe that shows us who the real servants are now.
Absolutely.
And it's not the senators or congressmen, nor the president. They don't work for us, folks. They work for the IMF. And that is very provable. Your taxes don't go pay one dime in the federal budget. Not one dime in the federal payroll. None of it does. But we think it does, so we're all going to pay our fair share. So just buck up and pay. Look at the stars, but your fair share, look at the stars.
Ugh. I know, it gets so frustrating, and it's... You know, they talk about trillion-dollar... infrastructure. They talk about trillions of dollars for you know, this and trillions of dollars. Well, you know what? In order to do some, these people's pensions are what's getting cut.
That's true.
You know, there has to be, these things have to be paid for, so it's coming from the taxpayer or something's going to get cut. There's 20 plus trillion dollars sitting in retirement accounts. Do you really believe they're going to let you have it? Do you really believe they're going to let you walk away with it? I remember friend of the family prior to the dot-com bust when everybody was, you know, the stock markets, everybody was happy and cheering and spending and blah, blah, blah. He said to me, they're not going to let them walk away with all that money. And then we had the dot-com bust. And he was right. They ain't going to let you walk away with it. You nuts?
Well, again, that's where I miss Bob Chapman. He exposed a lot of this stuff a long time ago. You know that. He told us these things. And Bob was ahead of his time in a lot of things he understood. He really was. So, yeah, I mean, that's, he was wise in what he saw happening. And we are in for a hit. And I feel sorry for even folks like you and I who are, I hate to say this, the elderly today. You know, it could hurt. It's going to hurt all of us. If they cut my Social Security benefits in half, it's going to hurt Melody. It's going to hurt a lot. I paid into it for 50 years. And, you know, so where is the money? It's not there. And you said the retirement funds got $20 trillion in it. Where is the money? I mean, where is it? Is it physical? Is it in gold and silver? Is it tangible? Or is it laying somewhere in a digital compartment somewhere? You follow what I'm asking?
I do.
It's not real. That's what I'm trying to say. This isn't real. It is not real unless you hold it in your hand in a way of physical assets, not paper, not bonds, not stocks, but physical assets like gold and silver. It is not yours. That you may think it is, but if you trust government to keep your benefit, your welfare in mind when they can't even pay their own bills, well, let's just put it this way, we've been suckered. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Just that
sooner or later, you're going to run out of other people's money. And it's just another problem that we face in the very near future that no one's paying any attention to. That's just a huge crack.
I'm going to keep a couple of these stories for Thursday because I think they're important. Did you know that Ukraine has put up a naval block around Crimea?
Can you find Ukraine on the map, Punch?
If you put a U there and a crane beside that,
crane there, can we find it then?
Yeah. But anyway, I want to share this because it's important. And NATO just waiting for Russia to retaliate, it said. Then we'll cover it later. Next, we'll cover it Thursday.
Alrighty, yes, that's an important story. We will do that on Thursday. So make sure, ladies and gentlemen, you join us tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. But until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.